And inside the city near the sheep gate was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew how long he had been ill, he asked, "Would you like to get well? Would you like to be made whole?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred up. When I'm trying to get there, someone else always gets ahead of me." And Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your sleeping mat, and walk." So after 38 years, the man's problem had become a way of life. No one had ever helped him. He had no hope of ever being healed and no desire to help himself. The man's situation looked hopeless. But no matter how trapped you feel in your infirmities, God can minister to your deepest needs. So don't let a problem or hardship cause you to lose hope. God may have special work for you to do in spite of your condition, or even because of it. So many have ministered effectively to hurting people because they have triumphed over their own hurts. So take heart today. Your Savior sits in active sovereign control over all the things that would confuse, the things that would overwhelm, the things that would surprise or disturb you. Personal peace never comes by figuring out the future, but by resting in and submitting to the one who holds our future in his hands. So if you are a discouraged and defeated Christian believer, you may have accepted the rationalization that your condition is normal for all Christians. You may now be content with the position that the progressive, victorious Christian life may be suitable for a few Christians, but not for you. You've been to Bible conferences, Bible studies. You've also been up to the altar, but it seems like all the blessings are headed towards someone else. Now, that attitude on the part of Christian believers is neither modesty nor meekness. It's a chronic discouragement resulting from unbelief. It's rather like those who have been sick for a long time. They no longer believe that they can get well. Jesus is still saying, as he said to the man lying at the gate of Jerusalem pool, "Do you want to be made whole?" Jesus made him whole because of his desire. His need was great, but he had never lapsed into that state of chronic discouragement. Hebrews 11:6 puts it this way: without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So believing that God exists is only the beginning. Even the demons believe that much. God will not settle for mere acknowledgement of his existence. He wants personal, dynamic relationships with you that will transform your life. Jesus never gives up on us. That's called prevenient grace. He's always after us. Those who seek God will find that they are rewarded with his intimate presence. Sometimes we wonder about the fate of those who haven't heard of Christ or had little Bible to read. God assures us that those who honestly seek him, who act in faith on the knowledge of God that they possess, will be rewarded. When you get others the good news, encourage them to be honest and diligent in their search for truth. Those who hear the gospel news are responsible for what they have heard. So today, today, there will be opportunities for you to put that verse, Hebrews 11:6, into practice in ways that will shape the character of your life. And this is because without faith, without trust in God that results in obedience, it's impossible to honor the Lord. First, you must believe that He is, that He exists. You may believe in God with your mind, but do you demonstrate it with your life? Here's a tough example. If He asks you to give up everything today, do you trust that He'll provide what you need for tomorrow? That's a tough one for really, really strong Christians. But the Bible tells us if we have the faith, even as small as a mustard seed, it will grow into that big bush. Second, you must believe He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. And His character is trustworthy. And He always, always works for our benefit. Friends, it's easy when everything's going well. It's difficult to have faith when things fall apart, when you're tempted to doubt that God is in control and that He'll work everything out for His good. But regardless of what's happening today, set your heart to have faith. God has never let you down, and never will He let you down. His way is always the best way for us. Did you know that Jesus constantly prays for you? The Bible says repeatedly that Jesus is praying for you all the time. Wait a minute, you're thinking, Len, isn't Jesus God? How can He pray to Himself? Well, but think about it. You talk to yourself all the time. That's because you are made in God's image. Now, God is part of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And He is talking to Himself about you all the time. You are precious to Him. You are the object of His affection. And of course, He thinks and talks about you. So even before Jesus died on the cross, He was praying for you and me. John 17, verses 9 to 10. My prayer is not for the world, but for those who have You given to Me, Father. Because they belong to You, all who are Mine belong to You. And You have given them to Me so that they bring Me glory. So what did Jesus mean when He said, they are My glory? You see, God's glory is the revelation of His character and His presence. The lives of Jesus' disciples reveal His character, and He is present to the world through His disciples. So the question is, does your life reveal Jesus' character and presence? God is constantly hearing, God the Father is constantly hearing Jesus say, help her, Lord. Help him, Lord. Help that family, Lord. Help that relationship, Lord. This is called interceding. It means to advocate on behalf of someone. So interceding is to plead or to pray on behalf of a deep sense of urgency or burden, and to be an advocate means to guide and to comfort. It's a defender, it's a helper, it's a counselor. Jesus has been interceding for you every moment of your life. He can do that because He's God. He doesn't get confused. He never gets overwhelmed. And your circumstances aren't too much for Him to handle. He is your advocate. He sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and he's also interceding for all of us. We can read about it in Romans 8:34. Every time you sin, Jesus leans over and reminds the Father that he has already paid for that one. It's all covered because of the cross. Because Jesus is interceding for you, you can pray a simple prayer anytime. Even if you don't know what else to pray, just say, Jesus, thank you for praying for me right now because I'm really struggling. And you can find comfort in knowing that Jesus is always, always thinking of you and praying for you. Hated because of her nationality, scorned because of her work as a prostitute, Rahab was a woman in the Bible who hid two Israelite spies in her home. You can read about it in Joshua 2. She could have been killed for doing so, but she trusted that God had a purpose behind this mission. And in the process, she saved the spies as well as her entire family. We know nothing about Rahab's life prior to this time. What we can safely assume, however, is that she was looked down upon, ignored, certainly abused, a woman living on the very bottom of society's ladder. Yet God did not see her that way. He saw a woman to whom he had given both wisdom and courage. At some point or another, you have maybe felt like Rahab, less than, unseen, unwanted, maybe abused in some way by others, perhaps even those closest to you. Rahab's story shows that God can and will use anyone to accomplish his will, maybe even an old hippie roofing guy. His will and play a significant role in the mission. And there's a reason why Rahab is listed in Hebrews 11, commonly known as the Hall of Faith, and why she is part of the genealogy of Jesus. Her obedience, her yes, was used by God to bring about his purposes. True, our yeses to God may come with a cost, but the impact is always worth the cost. Think back to a previous yes you had given someone and how that life or result turned out. So when Jesus died on the cross, he not only accomplished your eternal salvation, he also put to shame all the counterfeits, all the false gods, all the false security systems in the world who say, I can be your God. Come to me. I'll make you feel better. Come to me. I'll run the show. Today, Jesus says to you, no, we're going to finish off that thinking once and for all. I am the true Messiah, and my Father is the one true God. He is just, and he is the justifier. He's the one who can save, the only one who can bring your heart to life again. My Father is the deliverer, the only one who can bring salvation to his people. He's the only one who can break the chains. He's the only one that can open the doors. He's God and there is no other. So God stands alone above all the things on earth. Learn in that promise today. Lean in that promise today. Claim that promise today. With Jesus, you will be made whole and have a great day. With Jesus, you will be made whole and have a greater eternity. Can I get an amen? Can I get a hallelujah? Can I get a thank you, Jesus?